This episode of the Jury Podcast is brought to you by Not a Goddamn Soul. Summer fling anymore, folks. We're going fucking steady. I put a nice little fucking Letterman's jacket on you, and the letters said J-R-Y-I-S-A-M-O-T-H-E-R-F-U-C-K-I-N-G. Badass. I don't know why it went badass instead of spelling it at the end, but that's what we're doing, man. We're back. If you're watching this on YouTube, no more of having to enter in the thing below, right? Huh? No more of that shit. Nothing. Because now we're going to upload it live. I'm recording here off Wirecast. I am going to a Meta CDN. Do me a favor. Somebody in the chat room, make sure this shit's on DiamondClub.tv. Now, where have we gone since I last left you? Last time, I put a little fear into some of you, based on the emails that you guys got. I was in a bit of a place. I was in a little bit of a dark corner. Dark corner of my psyche. I didn't know whether or not this podcast was going to keep going on. Do I have the time? Does it make sense now that I'm not just keeping the seat warm? For Night Attack? Now Night Attack's going to be back on Tuesdays? I can't go on Tuesdays. What am I going to do? But I'll be good fucking goddamned if it weren't for a avalanche of emails that came through. And I'll let you in on this. I was pretty sure I was bringing it back. But I didn't know. I didn't know. But now I do. I know that you guys give a fuck about this show. I know that you guys want this shit to continue, and it will. If you are watching this live, then you know that you are living on Earth in what is on the Pacific Standard Time, Sunday evening. That's when this show is going to be on from here on out. The reason for that is a couple. You are going to get more shows of me in studio if it's on Sunday. When we did Night Attack, I was fairly often in studio doing Night Attack, and that just makes sense with my schedule right now. So it's highly likely that there's going to be more in studio, and if there's more in studio, then that means more of this crisp HD feed, not only on YouTube, but also out to you guys watching live, because I'll be on Meta CDN. So thank you guys so much. I'll talk a little bit more about it as we go along. But I want to get into something that just tickled me pink today. I'm a huge Kanye West fan. I like Kanye. I've talked about Kanye on this show a couple times. And he had a bit of a blunder today. A bit of a happening. If you haven't read about this, here's what happened. Kanye's at a concert, I believe, in Australia. home of the unborn Blurch Lloyd. And he's got a point in his concert, and you can tell this is a rehearsed portion of things, that he says, I'm not doing this next song unless everybody stands up. Now I'm going to stop there because this is a very important thing to remember. What happens next is something that's happened to almost every major rock or rap group at some point. Something really dumb and embarrassing happens on stage. This is what Spinal Tap was effectively based on, right? So he says, everybody's got to stand up, and I'll fucking see you if you don't stand up. Crowd's going bananas, by the way. It's fucking oh no bonobos for that crowd. They are freaking the fuck out. They're totally into it. Everyone's standing up. And he even cringeworthingly makes the statement, the only way you will not have to stand up is if you're literally in a wheelchair. Sees two people, says all we're doing is waiting for these two people. And it's a very awkward 15 minutes while he realizes that these people cannot stand up because they're really in wheelchairs. And the crowd is trying to tell him, no, Kanye, no. He's telling his security guy to like go tell them to stand up. But in watching it, this is not anything worse than what you've seen a million times from other acts. You know, it's no worse than being in Melbourne and saying good morning, Sydney, or whatever. I don't know why morning, like he's doing a morning concert and they're going to serve croissants and muffins. But here's what matters. Reputation matters. Bubbles is in the chat room, says, it's admittedly hard to start a they're disabled chant at a concert, which it is. That's not very easy to start. The problem is this. The problem is that Kanye is Kanye, and he's got a reputation for being a fucking maniac and an egomaniac. Apparently two different things. He's got a reputation for going on 45-minute rants about how the paparazzi hates him at concerts where his own fans boo him. He's got a reputation for talking about how he's the best and everybody needs to recognize that he's the best. He's got a reputation for taking credit for things that he shouldn't take credit for. So when he says everybody needs to stand up, it sounds to our ears less like, hey, everybody who ever does a fucking concert that has high energy music says to the crowd, get on your feet. Fuck, we didn't crawl up fucking Gloria Estefan's piss hole because she kept saying, get on your feet. Unless you're in a wheelchair. You know, and she sang a whole fucking song about getting on your feet. But Gloria Estefan doesn't have the reputation that Kanye has. And that's why you see headlines like egomaniac fucking Kanye refuses to do a concert until wheelchair people stand up. And I kind of feel bad. I feel bad for Kanye. Because he's going to get a lot of shit for it. And then he's going to get defensive. And then people are going to get pissed off because Kanye's defensive. And we're just going to be stuck in this cycle. But maybe that's how it's supposed to be. Because Kanye very obviously enjoys being hated. He does. He loves fucking being hated. And this is how he gives us our chance to hate him. It's like when teenagers piss off their parents. So naturally, it's the momentum so they leave the house and they create their own families. It is a natural order. Kanye does something very jackass. We hate Kanye for it. We then are more fascinated by Kanye. Kanye continues to be more of a jackass. It's a loop. And we all love it. We, he's in the parlance of Ice Cube, the ninny you love to hate. Speaking of people you love to hate, oh boy, did we have a hell of a week in sports. I'm going to do my best to break it down here for you in the best way that I know how. However, we always play music in between the breaks, and we have a special guest here in the chat room. It is the one and only Ali Spagnola. Her brand new Power Hour app goes on sale in the iOS App Store on September 30th. She's going to be on Night Attack to commemorate the event. But while she's here, why don't we play her music while I go ahead and set up for the next segment? Thank you guys for watching and listening to the Jury Podcast 2.0. I join you now at the turning of the tide.
Let me tell you a story about this place I go. With all my friends every weekend or so. Well, I could describe the entrance, the back, and more. But I couldn't tell you a thing about the exit door. Many times I know I've gone into this bar. But when it comes to leaving, I don't remember that far. I've never left this bar. I've never left this bar. I've never left this bar. Maybe it's the people, I know it sounds crazy. But something about that place makes everything a bit hazy. Well, I know I always have a good time, at least I believe. Why else would it be that I never want to leave? Many times I know I've gone into this bar. But when it comes to leaving, I don't remember that far. I've never left this bar. I've never left this bar.
That is Ali Spagnola, her brand new Power Hour app, man. It's going to be legit. It's going to be fucking awesome. Go ahead and check it out. It's, man, I'll tell you what. Hanging out and talking with Ali is always one of my favorite things. There are a few harder workers in this or any industry than Ali. And tell you what, it's always good. Always good hanging out. You know what's not good? Having an entire week that the NFL had. This is going to be one of those things where I'm going to explain to you guys why you should give a fuck about these stories. Because they are really, really, really important stories. In my opinion, they're important stories. But they very often kind of get swept under the rug if you're not into sports. So, when I last left you guys, which was on Tuesday in Tampa, we had this whole Ray Rice discussion. And you might think at that point for the National Football League, it might be the worst week ever. Ray Rice, very popular running back, all of a sudden engulfed in this huge controversy. That's bad. It's a bad look. Especially when your commissioner covers it up. Especially when some people are wondering, man, you know, Ray Rice isn't even all that, you know, good or popular. He certainly seemed to be on the back end of his career last season. Why would they stick up for him like that? And more specifically, what would they do if a more popular, better running back, maybe one of the all-time greats, got into trouble? What a crazy fucking hypothetical. Cue Friday's news. Man, it would have been great if I would have had a sound effect for that. Let me go ahead and try that again. Here we go. Cue Friday's news. No, man, that's not good. Here we go. Wait a minute. Cue Friday's news. Oh, goddamn. It's a hot fucking explosion. Special report. Adrian Peterson. Mr. Peterson. Not the Sausage King of Chicago. No, the running back for the Minnesota Vikings. He gets arrested, man. And he gets arrested for something that might be, in its own way, not more important, although arguably so. Maybe not as prevalent, although arguably so. But certainly a trickier issue than domestic violence. Because fairly rarely are you going to find people in the modern era that will defend domestic violence as a legitimate way to go about your day. Well, I must discipline my bitch with violence. After all, it's what my daddy did. People very rarely say that. In fact, it's often the opposite. I watched my father beat my mom. I will never hit a woman. We take different lessons. Not so for what Adrian Peterson got busted on. He got busted for putting some bruises and welts on his child's ass and balls by way of a very fucking disturbing police report with a switch. If you're not from the South, you might not know that a switch is not a snitch, as in the golden ball that Harry Potter and friends fly around and try to capture in the game of Quidditch, but rather a branch of a tree that a authority figure will send their child out to be disciplined to grab their own implement of their beating, and they'll take off the little exterior branches and then whip the child's bare ass with it. That's what happened with Adrian Peterson. Sends the kid back up to his mom in Minnesota. This is while Adrian Peterson is living at his house in Texas. The mom has to bring the kid in for a doctor's appointment. The doctor looks at the kid's ass and balls, says, "What the natural fuck? How the fuck do you get the shit kicked out of you here, kid?" So goes to the mom and says, "Listen, man, as a doctor, I kind of got to report this as child abuse." And that ushers in maybe the biggest combination of whoopsie doodles in the NFL's storied history. A lot of fucking self-made mistakes here. And this was a huge one by Adrian Peterson. Now, there's a lot of sports hot takes that we can go into, specifically the fact that the Minnesota Vikings deactivated him for the game that they played today. That was a huge step. They got their shit kicked out of him against the New England Patriots. There's a fairly good chance they could have done a lot better if they would have had him in the lineup. Who knows when they will reinstate him? But let's not focus on those right now. Let's focus on a very specific line. All right? And I'm not going to, just to be honest, I don't know where this line is. But what is the line where this is just how I was raised? Stops becoming cute, right? Because there's some things that we just do. It's just how we were raised. I open doors for women at cars. If I get out of the car first, I'm going to open a door for a lady. By the way, I don't do that. That's a hypothetical. I'm not that good of a person. I say please and thank you when something happens. I'm sorry. That's just how I was raised. These are all good things. Sometimes we get a little fuzzy area, and that's what, at the farthest end of the fuzzy area, is this Adrian Peterson thing. Because there's a lot of people that will say, "I am the person I am today because my father or mother spanked me or hit me in very key junctures in my life." Let's go away from the idea of whether or not this is true, and let's just focus on the fact that people believe this and therefore carry it on into their own lives because they believe these to be good lessons. I'm sorry, it's just how I was raised. Now, on the other end of this, we have clearly defined elements that are not cool to hide under "it's just how I was raised." "Oh, I hate black people. I'm sorry. It's just how I was raised." "I don't believe that a gay person should be president. I'm sorry. It's just how I was raised. I sat for long afternoons and nights speaking with my father and grandfather about how we had to keep a gay man out of the White House. We were very specific on the presidential aspirations of homosexual America. I'm sorry, it's just how I was raised." That's the kind of shit that we don't generally tolerate. So what's the line? What I want you guys to go ahead and hit me in the chat room or hit me on email is what are examples of that middle ground? What's something on one side of that line? What's something on the other side of that line? Because I'm very curious to see where you guys are. Because I don't think there's a right answer. The right answer is the averaged out answers of all of our culture, you know? And it's hard to know where that line is because we're asking everybody to be honest, and then we're going to punish the people because they're on one side of the line, which I think is unfair. So let's just, as we are a friendly community and we want to create and stimulate a dialogue, go ahead and shoot me those emails or hit me up here in the chat room. We'll talk about it at the end of the show. But I'm very, very curious to see where everybody else is. Personally, I tend to believe that if you are going to punish your child, and again, I'm a man without a child, but if you are going to punish your child, it's far more effective to wage psychological warfare than it is to wage physical warfare. And so far, psychological warfare is not illegal. So, go ahead and keep that in mind. We got much more to talk about, including a super creepy alarm system that you guys absolutely have to hear about.
One is done for our 12-ounce friends. So to the Boone's drinkers, this song I send. People drinking Boone's. Crack open another. People drinking Boone's. One bottle is done. People drinking Boone's drinks. And what I found is nothing says class.
Allie Spagnola, keeping the party fucking rocking all good goddamn night here on the Jury Podcast. Thank you so much for her being here, hanging out. By the way, you can always go to alliespagnola.com/powerhour if you want to get all the Power Hour tracks. And of course, September 30th, she's got the new album. Somebody sent me this. It's called The Wakey Alarm. I was talking with Veronica Belmont at Dragon Con, and we were trying to explain to people that don't live in the Bay Area what it is like to live here in a situation where you get a lot of companies, start up, you get a little seed money, they try to make it happen here in the Bay Area. Next thing you know, they're out of money. But if the service was rad, just not profitable, we here in the Bay Area get a chance to enjoy it and bleed them dry. Thanks, Peter Thiel. This is not a local service, but it is one of those that I don't think will be around very long because it's very, very weird. It's called a Wakey Alarm, W-A-K-I-E. It's an Android and Windows phone alarm. And here's what happens. You are separated into two different pads, basically. You are either a sleepy or a wakey, meaning you are either asleep or you are awake. What this app hopes to do is wake you up in the same way that you would be woken up at a hotel when you call for a wake-up call. Never been to a hotel? Number one, what the fuck are you, Amish? Number two, when you are there, you call in and say, I'd like to be woken up at 8 o'clock, and your phone is basically your alarm. Somebody down there at the lobby says, oh, shit, we got wake-up calls here at 8, 8:15, 8:05. Pick up the phone and say, hi, this is your wake-up call. Hang up the phone. That's it. This is that idea, except they are crowdsourcing hotel-style wake-up calls with one weird thing. They separate who's calling you based on gender. So if you're a man, a woman wakes you up. If you're a woman, a man wakes you up. I'm going to take a wild guess and say this is a way that they can differentiate themselves with a fairly simple idea, although it seems like solving those problems would be a little complex. but it really brings all of the weirdness, right? Like, number one, you have strangers calling you to wake you up. And apparently it doesn't really work all that well. People here on this Gizmodo article that I was sent to said that they received 9 calls in a matter of 5 minutes and was able to answer none of the calls. Not one person talked. And of the 5 voicemail messages I received, not one person left a message. So it doesn't seem like people are really buying into this. But it also just seems like, I don't know. I feel like sometimes the people who have the skills to make apps that are about connecting to people are very often strangers to the idea of connecting to people. Right? Like, this seems like an interesting kind of Facebook add-on, maybe. Like, it'd be a fun little thing that Facebook could do. To say, hey, hook your phone up and now your friends can wake you up or something. Maybe that would be an interesting idea. But as a standalone app, it kind of commits the 2 cardinal sins. Number one, it's an app about connecting to people. That's creepy. So why would you creepily want to connect to people? I don't know. I don't. And also, it solves a problem for which we did not need a solution at all. We have alarms. They're mechanical. Do we fucking really think that are these random fucking groups of people, no matter how much we might want to fill ourselves with the delusion that they are sexy singles ready to mingle? Hello, stud. This is your wake-up call. Will that be better than just the mathematical precision of exactly waking up when you need to? I think Inky Poo beats this John Henry 10 out of 10 times. Why do we need to be connecting with anybody on that level? Which I think universally we can all agree is not our best or finest hour. You're very likely to fucking wake up the phone and be like, fuck you, please, go away. Especially if it's a stranger. I mean, I don't know who this fucking Russian lady is. I almost said the B word. That would have been, I don't know. Should I have said the B word? Go ahead and start a straw poll. Should I have said this Russian bitch here? I think it would have been funnier in the moment. But now I feel bad about myself. And now I find the navel-gazing element of me breaking down whether or not I should have said the B word is taking its own turn. If anybody, I want somebody to try this. Do me a favor. Go ahead. Hashtag join the conversation by downloading. Because I don't have Android or Windows. Somebody's got Android or Windows. And I know you motherfuckers are out there. Because whenever I bring up anything about phones or computers, you rush to fucking tell me. So now, I need you. If you leave me now, you'll take away the biggest part of me. Ooh, which is to try out this fucking Wakey app. Wakey, wakey. Hands off Snakey. I need you guys to try out this app because I want to hear how creepy it is. I need you to try it out and then email me, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. And bonus, right? I want you to have the longest possible conversation you can have with this stranger early in the morning. All right? Fresh up early in the morning, stretching and yawning. Go ahead and have the fucking longest conversation and tell me what you guys talked about. This is like a worse version of chat roulette. This is the worst possible version of chat roulette because it's like also kind of non-voluntary. So weird. But I want somebody to try it. I'm desperate for somebody to try it. We'll be right back with emails and so much more.
Within the game, every time I sing the word game to you,
Ally Spagnuolo bringing the motherfucking hits like it was her good goddamn job. Let's go through some emails. Here's the email sound effects. Here we go.
1776 will commence again.
Oh, that was a little low. Hold on. Here we go.
1776 will commence again.
Emails, I get them, I read them. And fuck, man, I was not kidding, man. You guys buried my ass in emails over the last couple days. It was so awesome to watch that. And man, I really can't thank you guys enough. It was amazing. It was amazing to be a part of it. And so here, I'll just read a few of them for you. This is Charles from Pittsburgh, California. You might remember me from my last email on the hot topic of retards. Thank you, Charles. Well, you struck another chord, two for the price of one. You struck another chord, and then it is what he's talking about. Now, first, I'd like to say to thank you for sharing that on the air, and the email was called Domestic Violence. That's what he's talking about. It was refreshing to hear another story like mine. And for those of you who didn't listen, last week I talked about the domestic violence incident that was the last time that my dad and mom lived together. It was kind of the impetus for their divorce. And it was the last in a long stretch, as I would find out, of domestic violence between my dad and my mom. I'm very open about all this shit that's happened in my life, but it helps me move through it. Thank you so much, Charles, for sending that email. It really, really matters a lot. That if there's one element that I can bring to this particular show, it is kind of an open dialogue about stuff like that, because it really does matter to me that we bring it out of the shadows. You know, if you can set up a situation in which a lot of these things are discussed in a fairly non-judgmental setting, then I think we do a lot of good, if even just to show how many people suffer from it. Because I think there's certainly a problem where we don't realize that it's just a problem. It's just a larger issue. It's a more reoccurring pattern than we might think. So thank you for writing that in. Oliver writes, one thing I've really been enjoying about the show, the way you react to the opinions of those you disagree with. The best example is in your interview with Padre SJ. As one of your Christian fans, I thought you conveyed exactly the right attitude of, quote, I'm probably not going to agree with you on any of this, but I'm fascinated that you believe it, and I want to learn more about the way you see the world because it is different from the way I see it. I think you could do a lot more of that sort of thing, and I don't just mean religion. Man, tab that thought, because I'm going to do a little closing rant, and this all kind of comes together about an overarching worldview that I've only recently kind of put my finger on. Joe K. says, I demand that jury talks continues. I don't make me waste my money and time. If I have to track you down, I will skip over all of this country and duct tape you in front of a mic and camera. You will be sorry. That was easily the most threatening email I got about continuing the show, but I do appreciate your persistence and passion. Email me, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Do me a favor and just throw J-U-R-Y in the subject line so I know what the fuck you're talking about. And then, you know, whatever topic you guys have after that in the subject, it helps me out to sort it. We're going to do one more break, and then I got a big fat hairy rant that I want to unleash, not unlike the Kraken, upon all of your asses. Be right back.
In rare form and pride and whiskey bottles, vodka and tanked and sloppy and cranked. Auto invisible, gunman stinged all messed up, tore up, looped up, boozed up, littered up, banged up, lit up, pooched up, buzzed and jazzed and glazed and bombed, ripped and pissed and blitzed and bombed, sawed and locked and corked and sober, shot and sopped and subtly tober, smashed, trash, bashed, mashed, buzzy, fuzzy, dizzy, merry, screwed and glowing and nuked and blowing at two. Soaked and jiggered and gone and piffled, juiced and happy and seeing triple.
Oh, snap. Ally Spagnuolo, man. Fucking killing it. I read an article. Look at me, I'm reading. I read an article written on BuzzFeed. They of the listicle kings. But they do a lot of really, really good long form stuff. And one of those was an article I read, I believe, entitled "Will Misogyny Bring Down the Atheist Movement?" or something along those lines. It's a fairly incendiary article for which I will leave everybody to your own judgment, because what I don't have is a good enough take on this to give a rant about who's right and who's wrong in that article. But I will say this. When I was a teenager in high school, I very much fell in love with the James Randi Educational Foundation. It was amazing to me on a million different levels, not the least of which was that it was in my backyard. The head office where James Randi himself worked was just down the road from my high school. And Andrew Main, the way that I met him was because he was working there at the Million Dollar Challenge at the time and would come to my high school because we both went to the same high school, albeit a few years apart. And it was amazing to just know that that organization existed and they were real people. They were not some knights in a foggy future, you know, fighting the good fight in a way that I couldn't conceptualize. I knew what the office looked like before I really kind of fell in love with the cause. But as happens with people in high school and college, you know, you find idealistic causes and you latch onto them. And it's that passion that really, in many ways, makes the world go round, because it's what cements a lot of the causes that we fight for later in life. Some stick, some don't, but the ones that do oftentimes are the most important to us because we remember when the passion burned white hot. And so it was for me with the James Randi Educational Foundation. I was the first official intern for the foundation. Fun little trivia fact for any of you skeptics out there. I was there before they started doing the amazing meetings. I remember the first few of them. And how big of a sea change it was for them to all of a sudden not only just have a very influential message board, which was really how things started, but now to have this gigantic happening for people to come from around the world and connect to each other in meet space. Of course, like any convention, it grew other elements. Other elements kind of became important to that convention scene, not the least of which was what happens when people get together and get drunk when they like each other and they agree with each other's points of view. And, you know, things happen. That's what happens at Dragon Con, you know. And with that comes a lot of way other dangerous kind of elements and way other big picture problems that they've had to deal with, which this article goes into in very gigantic detail. And by the way, I didn't really like the way the article was written. Not for any reason about the opinions he came to, but just kind of very needly, you know, J-school bullshit reasons that matter to me that probably would be boring to everybody else. But it does a very good job of pointing out a flashpoint in when the skeptic and atheism community became divided. Now, it's not to say that divide didn't always lay under the surface, not to say that it created the divide. I believe it just illustrated the divide on a very stark level, and it has put the community in a place that I don't think it's really recovered from. I think it's going to be many years, if it ever recovers from this moment. Many of you might be aware that there was a person for whom is named Rebecca Watson. She is a founder of the Skeptic website. It's very, very popular. She did a video blog some years back in which she was talking about how she did a talk about how it was uncomfortable for her to be hit on and objectified sexually at conferences. And then later in that very day, while she was riding the elevator back up to her room, a dude was like, "Hey, you want to come get coffee?" It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Rebecca was pillared for this. And without getting into the details of who was right and who was wrong, Richard Dawkins, about as big a name as you can get in the atheism sphere, went into a blog post about her video and commented saying in this very satirical letter writing format that, oh, Muslim women, don't worry about you getting your clits cut off by maniacs and the fact that you get the shit kicked out of you by way of a systemic Islamic Sharia law. Rebecca Watson's fucking turning down people trying to fuck her in elevators. She's the real victim. I will say I think that's kind of fucked up. And I say that knowing that Richard Dawkins at least has more recently said that he regrets doing that and by comparison shopping on one thing that's fucked up and therefore implicitly saying that the other thing wasn't fucked up. But I'm not concerned about refereeing that. I'm concerned about this. At the point where you have a young female internet-focused commentator being put on blast and having a clown suit stitched for her by an old media book and professor, ivory tower figure, important as he may be, in Richard Dawkins, you've now drawn a line in the sand that is more than just about whether or not Rebecca was right to talk about the fact that she thought she was it was inappropriate to get hit on in an elevator, right? Now you are dealing with a million other different vectors. You are dealing with man versus woman, old media versus new media, blogs versus books. There's a zillion different little things that equally have their own passionate fucking elements to it. The only way that you could have made this more of a shit show is if Rebecca had made a point to say that I recorded this video on my iPhone and at the bottom of Richard Dawkins' fucking comment, it said sent from an Android. That's the only way you could have made this more of an incendiary shit show. And here's my thought, and it goes into what the guy who wrote me about my interview with Padre SJ, because it was when I read this that I kind of I drew some lines in the sand for me. We're all we have. Me, you, some other dude, Ali Spagnola, Turquoise Jeep, Ashley Paramore, Michael Dukakis, literally all of us. We're all we have. You listening to me. You are all I have. I am all you have. We are on a rock being circled around the sun, and we are alone together. And this is more important when we start to deal with communities. Because if the communities matter to us, then their advancement and their safeguard matter to us. And we are all we have. One of my favorite movie scenes of all time is in Apollo 13, and I refer to it all the time whenever you're in crisis situations, in which Ed Harris comes into the NASA office and lays a pile of shit on a table, and with Apollo 13 lost in space, says, this is all they have on there. Nobody leaves this room until we figure out how to get them down with the shit we have right here. We are brainstorming with these tools until we either get them down or they die because we failed. And that's what I feel like when I see communities that I fucking do care deeply about. And I have friends in. I obviously get a front row seat to a lot of it because of Ashley. These are the only tools we have. Richard Dawkins and Rebecca Watson are all each other have. In a lot of ways, they're both incredibly influential figures, and I would say extraordinarily important voices in the community. And we can bitch about the fact that the tools we have aren't what we want, and we would be able to make a better community if only this wrench were a hammer. But we don't have it. We have maybe deformed, fucked up tools that are unequal to the task. And we can either look to make them optimized for it by way of communication and teamwork, or we can just die bitching about the fact that we don't have the right tools to fix this problem. And I'm personally way more on the side of trying to do whatever we can. And I don't mean to say, I don't mean to minimize this, because I really believe heavily in a lot of these issues that are talked about, especially with the elevator gate thing. I've talked a lot about how the fact that, you know, I just think there's just straight misogyny out here in these streets, these internet streets. There's just a lot of fucking men picking on women. It's just a fact. Like Agnes, Agatha, Germaine, and Jack. Although I guess probably more specifically Agnes and Agatha. But all that being said, we can focus on what we have not in common, or we can focus on our shared goals, and we can try and benefit those shared goals. And I think when you have communication breakdowns in the way that we've seen, not only with Rebecca Watson and Richard Dawkins, but also the communities that support and follow them, when there's the line drawn in the sand and it becomes fuck the other side, that breaks my heart. Because one day we're all going to die and our fingers are just going to be pointed out at the other side instead of holding hands and hanging out and, I mean, consensually finger banging or something like that. I don't know. I mean, I ain't your dad. Do whatever you want. But I think we should be together on this. I think that we should, if we only agree on 2%, we should fucking make a concerted effort to focus on that 2%. And that's what I want to do with you guys. That's what I hope all of you can share in, is disagree with everybody all you want, but never let your disagreements get in the way of the fact that we do agree on a lot. We do. Let's focus on that. And then let's talk about the other shit when we have time. And maybe when we're not drunk. And maybe not anonymously on the internet. I don't know. That's just my opinion. That about wraps it up for this episode of the Jury Podcast. I'm Justin Robert Young. I'm very proud to bring you guys this show. I thank you so much for joining us. Go ahead and subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/JustinRobertYoung, now that we're uploading this shit in pristine HD quality. You can find the podcast on Stitcher and iTunes. Do me a favor, rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Let's go ahead and pop that motherfucker as hard as we can. Me and Ash are going to be drinking all these Les Bobos red wine, but until next time, please don't die.